This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. And we have been blowing up on the Super Bowl from last night. Rams over the Bengals 23-20. How did it happen? We'll continue along our thoughts on how the Rams pulled this off, especially in the second half, where their defense showed up and the defense made their statement. Yes, the Rams went on a nice 15-play drive that went 78 yards, capped by the pass to Cooper Kupp in the end zone. But that defense needed to make a statement, and they did. Cincinnati is going to go over that tape and wonder some of the opportunities that they had that they sacrificed. This game was officiated weirdly as well. We'll talk about that coming up in this hour. We've also got a buy or sell coming up as we kind of break down the Super Bowl coverage from yesterday. Yes, it is a finish of the season. And yes, this 2001/2002 year is in the books. And it started with a team that was built to be right where they were with another team that wasn't expected to be anywhere near it. And I think that's the greatness of this league. Is that occasionally you get different ways of building your team. The Bengals did it the way they did it, right? They went and got Joe Burrow. They found their quarterback. They built it the way you normally build in a rebuilding process. You find young talent. You make that young talent work. You add some different pieces. And next thing you know, you put it all together, catch a run, and make it to the Super Bowl. And then there are the Rams, where you're putting together a Pro Bowl roster at the expense of your future because you know if you can win, it'll pay off incredibly, and it's going to pay off. And it's going to pay off for them incredibly. They are Super Bowl champions because they made that work. It's going to be interesting to see how other teams who are in that sort of rebuilding process are going to go about doing that. Naturally, there's not going to be a Matt Stafford available in a trade. There's not going to be elite quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, that are in bad situations that you're going to be able to take from franchises. But there are enough out there that you can at least make a run at a few. Right? Would, for example, the Tennessee Titans be interested in trading Ryan Tannehill if there was another option for them down the road? There are a couple of examples like that. You've heard different kind of quarterbacks, Derek Carr, different names of quarterbacks that are available. But you better get the right one. And Matt Stafford was absolutely the right one. If you're going to pair up a quarterback with an elite receiver like Cooper Kupp, get one that can deliver that ball in certain places. And Matt Stafford's accuracy in this postseason was really spot on at times. Other times it wasn't, but when he needed it, in clutch situations it was. We'll talk more about Super Bowl 56 as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. 800-224-2004 if you want to get your thoughts in on Super Bowl 56. Cooper Kupp came down with the go-ahead touchdown with about 90 seconds left in the game. A beautiful pass from Matt Stafford, who hit him with an over-the-shoulder grab. Eli Apple on the coverage just could not cover it. You can't cover Cooper Kupp one-on-one. That's not going to happen, especially in that situation. And they didn't do it all drive. He threw four passes to Kupp. He made all four catches. Even on a jet sweep, Kupp was able to get a first down when they needed it the most. If you have a defining moment in the Super Bowl, it was that drive. But I also think, too, that while, again, Kupp winning the MVP, great choice. If you're going to go anywhere on offense, that's the guy to go to. But I do think the defense, this is now the second Super Bowl where I thought the defense was a better story than the offense. Yep, I think Tom Brady, of course, you get an MVP. If you're giving it to offensive people, you give it to Tom Brady, three touchdown passes in that win against the Chiefs. But the story was the defense, keeping Patrick Mahomes out of the end zone and holding them to three field goals. And in this case, it wasn't quite like that. But when you look at where the Bengals were heading in this game, opening up the second half with a 75-yard touchdown to T. Higgins, and then getting an interception, and then setting up another field goal by Evan McPherson, his second of the game, and that gave them a nice lead. And the Rams then had to respond. And how the Rams responded, they did it in two ways. One, they get a field goal and then the late touchdown, but they also did it defensively where Aaron Donald and Von Miller and the rest of that defense said that's going to be it for the Cincinnati Bengals. Zach Taylor and that Bengals team did not score again after the Evan McPherson field goal after they came up with the Stafford interception on the Rams' first possession of the second half. This looked like a game that could get out of hand for the Rams quickly. I mean, it looked like the Rams are going to make some mistakes, maybe press a little bit. They weren't being able to run the football, setting up third and long, and they were in trouble there. Bengals looked like they were going to be in control of this. The way you take control away from a team is prevent them from scoring. And that's exactly what this Rams team did. And I think it starts with the defensive effort. Now, I get it. MVP is going to be more of the identifier, right? The player that you're just going to remember the most. With the Buccaneers defense, it was hard to peg one or the other. I had Devin White last year as my MVP. I know I was going against Brady's three touchdowns was impossible, but it was something I thought, I would have given it to Devin White. If I had a vote, I would have voted Devin White. If I had a vote last night, I would have voted for Aaron Donald, even though I totally recognize the extreme value of having a receiver like Cooper Kupp. He was extremely important on that final drive. He was the reason they scored a touchdown. He was the only reason they were in position to score a touchdown. When you think of the completions that he had, the catches that he had, then the sweep on the run that picked up the first down, he drew a few penalties. He was, of course, the over-the-shoulder grab on the beautiful pass by Stafford, giving him the touchdown that gave him the lead for good. But I do think when you really, really analyze the story of how this Rams team won, they did it by shutting down Cincinnati's offense from the moment McPherson's kick went through the uprights till the end of the game. And especially at the end of the game, especially when the Bengals were driving and had plenty of time to set up another field goal. That kid can kick it long. And that kid's been accurate all postseason, Evan McPherson. If they had put him in a position to nail it through the uprights, I have no doubt in my mind he would have nailed the kick. But the Rams on third and one, Donald grabs P. Ryan, throws him to the ground. Fourth down, Burrow goes back. Donald's in his face, ready to bring him down, enough that Burrow just has to flick the ball out, hoping that a player can make a catch. I think Uzma was there that couldn't quite get a hold of it. So those two particular plays sealed the win for the Rams, but in reality, it was every single possession Cincinnati had that they couldn't do anything with once they kicked the field goal off the interception. And I think that's the reason I think the Rams won this. Without taking anything away from Cooper Kupp, who was 8 catches, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Those are MVP level numbers. But I like the devil in the details. I'm just kind of like that way. Listen, don't get me wrong. I've told you guys many times. I'm always critical of somebody who, like, and I've done this with the draft for years, where Joe Burrow is clearly the number one pick, right, in 2020. All right, and there's always somebody that goes, oh, no. There's a kid from Yale, plays both ends, linebacker and running back. He should be the number one pick. It's like, no, he's not going to be the number one pick. Stop it. I know you like to show off these middle of nowhere players that nobody's ever heard of, but Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick. There's always somebody like that. That's not really what I'm talking about when it comes to Super Bowl MVPs. I don't really try to find an obscure player and say, like, oh, this safety that knocked down the pass in the first quarter. Aaron Donald had a whale of a game. I mean, a real whale of a game. So I don't disagree with Cooper Kupp, but Donald is where I would have gone. From the Cincinnati side of things, let's talk about them for a second. From the Cincinnati Bengals side of things, this was a real magical run that came to an end. Eventually, your magic runs out. And Joe Burrow had enough of that really gave us an insight into where this team could go. I wouldn't, at any point this season, even with Joe Burrow, there weren't a lot of times this season where I went, okay, I'm seeing now a new emergence of an elite team in the AFC. The Bengals were, we've said it over and over this season. Times they were scary, then they wouldn't look scary again. Times that they would look like, who's going to beat them, to a team that looked beatable. That was kind of their MO. The moment I think they beat the Chiefs late in the season, there was a feeling like, all right, this is a dangerous team you better be careful of. They can do some things, and they can come back in games. And they've got a lot of pieces that work well together. They're not loaded with superstars, but they're loaded with enough really good players that they're dangerous. But again, they were serious underdogs almost every step of the way, right? Outside of the Raider game, they were underdogs against the Titans, Chiefs, and the Rams. And yet they made it to the Super Bowl. I would caution people to think that this team is now on the same level as Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore healthy with Lamar Jackson, what the Chargers may be able to do. They aren't. And the reason is because they have to figure out that offensive line. I think you have an elite quarterback, but the Indianapolis Colts had an elite quarterback in Andrew Luck, but the wear and tear eventually forced him out of the league. I don't want to see that with Joe Burrow. But they got a good young coach who's found the right quarterback. Remember, no one was thinking Zach Taylor was a good coach until he got Joe Burrow. And then when he got Joe Burrow, even though that first year was off because Burrow's injury, now all of a sudden Zach Taylor is one of the better coaches in the league. See how funny that works when you have the right quarterback? I don't know. We've only had that discussion for the last 20 years with one particular team. But nevertheless, I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals are now a force to be reckoned with in the AFC. I still think it runs through Kansas City. I still think it runs through Buffalo. But if they do get this offensive line in gear, if they do find some really strong left tackles and really strong presence on it, then I think you've got something. And it's going to make this a lot more dangerous of a conference to navigate. But for the Rams, I wonder how many general managers, this has been something we've been talking about this morning, I wonder how many general managers are now going, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, stockpiling picks isn't always the way to go. And it may not be your quarterback, right? Like, if you're the Tennessee Titans, and you got a quarterback that you trust in Ryan Tannehill, and you got Derrick Henry, and you got some wide receivers that you like, and you got a defense that's getting better and has been put together well, but maybe you're missing a few pieces. Maybe you sacrifice those picks to get... Go out there and get go find your Jalen Ramsey. Go find your Von Miller with those draft picks. Don't stockpile them. Go out and look. Go talk to teams that are struggling and trying to figure out what their roster is going to look like. Are these guys available? Is that a way to go about doing this? I've said the biggest problem with the way the Rams did their job is that fans like the draft. Nobody likes it when their team has no picks. It's a fun event. It's an exciting event. The future is always better, right? You want to see if your team failed on their first round pick or succeeded on their first round pick. Remember, you know, I remember last year, remember when Najee Harris got drafted by the Steelers? I came on the next day. I said, look, I wanted an offensive lineman. There was a number of holes I thought the Steelers needed. I wanted him to go there. But in the end, when I saw Najee Harris on the board, I was like, you know what? Screw it. Go get the star. Go get the playmaker. Go get the guy that's going to handle the football and may score some touchdowns for it. Go get that guy. Figure out your offensive line later. Figure out your defensive front later. Figure out some other area. He's on the board. Go get him. And they did. That's fun. That's fun to do. Right? Even if whether your team is picking 28th, 21st, coming off a playoff run, or they're picking 10th or 8th or 11th, and they need a lot of help. It's fun to go into the draft with picks. It's fun to break down mock drafts to see who your team's getting. When your team doesn't do that, you better get some results out of that. If they're going to give up all of that fun for you in April, they better give you some hardware. And the Rams have now given their fans some hardware at the sacrifice of, oh, yeah, by the way, we're not going to be picking in the first round for a while. That's the difference. And I wonder how many GMs are going to be like, you know what? I'll take a gamble. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, Jacksonville or Houston or some of these teams that may continue to struggle for a couple of years. Maybe the Lions aren't quite done breaking down. Maybe there's a player that, you know, if I can get a hold of him, that's the missing piece. That's the missing defensive lineman I need, or offensive lineman I need, or whatever it may, corner or whatever it is. That's the guy. You know, a Julio Jones, like the way the Titans did it. Find the player that you think can add some value to it and be willing to sacrifice the picks everybody covets so badly. And I think that's why this Super Bowl to me was kind of an exciting matchup, because it wasn't just about Stafford and Burrow and Donald and Jamar Chase and Jalen Ramsey and all of the names, and Sean McVay and Zach Taylor, coaches in their 30s. It was two philosophical differences of how both teams got to this game. I mean, the Bengals doing it the traditional way. Find your superstar quarterback by being absolutely lousy and getting the number one overall pick. Congratulations. But it's also finding your quarterback when a team is like, you know, I don't know if we're going in the right direction, and maybe we should part ways. and you go, ah, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind leaving, and let's go find a partner that we can pair up with. And, oh, by the way, the Broncos, they're going to cut some salary too, and Von Miller is available. Hey, how would you like this package? Jalen Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville. Hey, how about this package? Those kind of things. That's another way you can go about winning this Super Bowl. Right? I mean, you know, the Patriots did a little bit of that. The Patriots were able to get like a Randy Moss in there. You know, they did a little bit of that. But the Rams did it as their overall philosophical philosophy. And it's paid off with the Super Bowl. All right, again, more thoughts on the game and a couple of things on the outside of the game. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Wake Up Call. Again, Super Bowl 56. All done. Season all done. Now it's ready for Combine and the Draft. That's the big football stuff that we've got down the road.
March 1st, right? Or is it somewhere beginning of March when they... When the new season starts?
New season starts,
you get all those trades?
That's right.
It's when Tom Brady was traded.
By the way, I lost $100 on the Super Bowl. Now, but can I bring up a good old friend of ours, Eton Shander?
Yeah.
Eton placed a bet on – he did the prop bet on a non-quarterback throwing a touchdown pass.
Yes.
Put $25 on it, won nearly $400. I was like, good for you, man. That's great. I lost I'm not trying to bore you with losing bets. I was going to make a point. This is really my first time betting the Super Bowl. I'm just not, even when I lived in Vegas, I didn't bet much. So I had a 4-bet parlay and I had the Rams winning by 4. I got 4 points. I had Evan McPherson over under 1.5 field goals, so he had to kick 2, which he did. I had T. Higgins over 68 yards receiving. He got that on one play. He got over that on one play. But I had Odell Beckham Jr. over 63 yards receiving. He had 52 before he left the game with an injury. So
that's a bummer because he would have had more.
Oh, he would have had more. It would have been more. Now, I ended up not having the Rams with the point, so it all became null and void. But had the Rams won by 5, I would have been so disappointed that didn't pay off because of injury. Then I had a bet on just the Rams winning straight up at 4.5 points, and that didn't come to fruition either. So I was down on the Super Bowl, but it was fun. It was fun. My daughter noticed though. She goes, "You seem to be more interested in things happening than the actual game itself." I go, "Yeah, that's how it works, honey.
That's how it works, sweetie."
Like, you know, it's like it's not me enjoying that T. Higgins had a 75-yard touchdown. It's me checking off one of my parlay picks that he got the touchdown with the 75 yards. So,
did you really didn't have a dog in this fight either, right?
No, not at all.
Find yourself towards the end of the game leaning towards the team?
I was leaning towards the Rams. I was. I kind of made my bed with that. But I posted this on Facebook. Every year my friends ask me who I think is going to win the Super Bowl because of what I do for a living. And then whenever I say who it is, they assume that's who I'm rooting for. And I keep telling them over and over again, I don't care. Like, in the end, I couldn't care less who wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't care less who wins the Super Bowl. But if I pick the Rams, I'm pulling for them because I picked them. But that can change. I mean, I picked Kansas City to win the Super Bowl last year. I think everybody did. Maybe a few people like bought the Brady train that would continue in Tampa. But I thought the Chiefs were a better team. I picked the Chiefs. But I found myself rooting for Brady and the Buccaneers towards the end of that, as the Super Bowl was being played. I was like, this is kind of a cool story. There's something about the Rams that I think would have been a better, like, look, I know it's tough to get to a Super Bowl, but they were building something in Los Angeles, and I was like, I was pulling for him a bit.
It wasn't that for me. It was, you know, people ask me, like, oh, are you going for Rams? Are you going for Bengals? And I'm like, I'm not really going for either team.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Stafford over Burrow.
Me too. Me too.
And I think that's where it was. Because I feel like Burrow has that pedigree that he'll be back.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
so.
That he can get the Bengals back there. Stafford, I don't know. And it's just, you know, it's like, man, he suffered for 12 years in Detroit. Come on, we got to get him something.
Yeah, you got a team. Again, look at the way that team was built, right? I mean, you got Aaron Donald on the verge of retirement, needing wants one shot at winning this thing. Matt Stafford, 12 years in Detroit, just wants one shot at winning this thing, right? You got Cooper Kupp, the best wide receiver in the game. You got Jalen Ramsey, you know, one of the best corners in the game. And for the Bengals, you're right. I felt like the Bengals are a team that, you know, hey, played the underdog role and played it well. They got a great quarterback in Joe Burrow. But for, you know, for me to watch them win four games and then go to the Super Bowl, it's like I'm watching a Rams team that is there. It's close. And now it's finally. And so I was kind of pulling for their story a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. I think Stan Kroenke, I've dealt with the Kroenke family in Denver with the Nuggets. They're, you know, I had no problems with Josh, his son, when we'd have him on to talk Nuggets. But the dad was always interesting because, you know, pulling that team out of St. Louis and kind of the backstory of that to take over that market when nobody else would go into that market. Remember, like the NFL kept that market vacant for over 20 years, right? Everybody that would threaten to go in the end never went. And finally, Kroenke's going there and he's building a brand new stadium with no taxpayer money. And he's got a young coach in Sean McVay. And it's like, all right. But remember, two teams left this city. And the city was screaming for NFL football to come back. So go there and be successful. And he did. And now they're champions. But I like Von Miller. I'm glad he was able to get his second ring. But I'm with you on Burrow and the Bengals. I know it's hard to get back to a Super Bowl, but they're going to be in contention for one. And as long as you're in contention for one, you feel like you feel like at some point again that should break and they should be in this game. Of course, if they fix their offensive line, but again, I'm with you. I didn't really like. To me, I haven't like I don't have. It's I have friends, and I don't know how they do this. I don't know how they do this. They do it in college, which is a little bit more annoying. But I'm not a fan of, well, that's the AFC team. So what does that matter? If you like the Patriots, did you root for the Bengals because they represent the AFC? This is not baseball in the 80s, for crying out loud. There is no philosophical difference. There's no, your team doesn't benefit. Like, I swear to God, like, I as a guy from, you know, went to South Carolina, I have friends going, oh, you must be pulling for Alabama because of the SEC. I'm like, no. Why do I care? I don't care if Alabama wins this or not. Like, oh, you must be rooting for LSU. Why? my team doesn't benefit. My school is not getting more. If anything, it becomes tougher to get recruits if you've got national championship trophies all around the conference. It's the same thing in the NFL. Why are you pulling for teams in your own division? Like, the Bengals have now just made it harder for the Steelers to go to the playoffs. Right? Like, they've now proven they can get to the Super Bowl with this kid. Like, that's all I need. I need two young, up-and-coming superstar quarterbacks in my own division.
And a possible third if Baker can get his head on right.
If Baker can get his act together, there'll be three. While my team has zero. It's impossible. I do root for stories. Don't get me wrong. That's one of the reasons I was pulling for Brady and the Buccaneers. I thought Brady winning in his first year in Tampa and winning yet another Super Bowl at his age, I think it was a better story than Mahomes winning another one. And in this case, I think the Rams, I like Sean McVay a lot. I like Aaron Donald. I thought they were a better story. But as I said all last week, everything pointed to the Rams except that one thing that was like, well, that Joe Burrow, he's got enough moxie and cool.
He has that it factor
that
we always talk about. That's like, you know, that it can take over a game.
Yep. Josh Allen's got it. Obviously, Mahomes has it. The NFL, the AFC is getting loaded with kids who are going to have that.
Yep.
Yep.
And are going to make names out of people you never heard of.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Buy or sell Super Bowl editions coming up next as we roll along at hour three on Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
Fire Sell Time Super Bowl Edition as we roll along on Sports Map Radio. This is how we do it. Ron brings up something and we buy or sell it. We either say it's, yeah, that's legit, or no, it's not happening. All right, let's get things started. What's the first one out of the gate?
The first one out of the gate. The Rams winning the Super Bowl will start a trend of teams trading for players during the season to build a championship roster.
I'm going to buy this with a caveat. I think some general managers are going to be intrigued by this, but I think others know it's a little bit dangerous because sacrificing the future stinks. And remember, general managers are never thinking about today. They're always thinking about 3-4 years down the road. But good general managers think about today as well. I think it could happen. So I'm going to buy it, but I don't think it's going to be a widespread thing. I think general managers are too scared to give up draft picks.
No, that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to really trade away the future. And I mean, the Rams making this all-in adventure work for them, I don't think it becomes a trend.
Yeah,
though.
What if it didn't work for the Rams? Like, what if they lost to Tampa? Like, what if the Buccaneers came back?
Or if they lost to the Bengals last night.
Or if they lost to the Bengals. But they lost to the Bengals, you could be like, well, they got a Super Bowl. But let's say they lost early in the postseason. You're like, oh, my God, what's happening to them? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where do they go now?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, my God, we just got one win out of this thing in the postseason? Yikes. But, yeah, no, I'm intrigued by that question. I think that's a good one. I'm really intrigued to see how many teams go, yeah, there's another way to do this. We don't exactly have to find our, stellar corner in the draft. Let's talk to some teams. Because remember, the Rams didn't go after, like, B-level players that became stars. Like, they got superstar Pro Bowl best of their position
Potential
Hall of Fame guys. I mean, Vaughn Miller, Vaughn Miller,
but he's a Hall of Famer.
Golly, he's going right to Canton. Jalen Ramsey's one of the best corners in the game when he's not getting his head ripped off. I'm going to keep bringing that up forever. T. Higgins, that was a
there's a face mask on that play. Yeah. I missed it.
But Matt Stafford may not be on the level of like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but he was good enough.
He's a
good
quarterback,
though.
Did
you saw talent there? And you're like, I wonder what he could do with a better team.
Yeah, the only one teetering on that line would be Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know where he is just yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he has an amazing catch that will live in NFL films forever.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know. I don't know where he stands on Canton just yet.
But here's the other thing, too. Odell, you have to say now, you know how, like, when you become a knight, you have to say, like, Sir Nick Faldo?
Yes.
Do we have to say Super Bowl champion Odell Beckham Jr.? Is that how he's going to want to be known now?
Probably, but we don't have to do that.
It's like, we're with Odell Beckham. Oh, I'm sorry. Super Bowl champion Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, goodness. All right, what's the second one?
Speaking of Super Bowl champion Odell Beckham Jr., his non-contact injury will lead to the NFL moving away from turf fields.
Yeah, what kind of turf is that? Is that the new stuff that they've got now?
It didn't look like it, did it?
No, it is that
like,
the new,
I think, because
like,
the new stuff, I think, is good.
Yeah.
It feels like grass. I mean, I've played on that type of turf before. And, it feels like grass. It plays like grass. It doesn't come up. The only thing that's annoying is they fill it with so many those little black rubber pellets,
right?
Like used rut tires and stuff like that, that they end up in your shoe.
That
is the least of the problems.
I think I'm going to need to scour the internet. I want to find somebody who's written an article like, okay, you want to know why? You want to know exactly what's happening when these guys go down with these turf injuries? Here's why. Because the turf is made in this way, it gets tangled with like one or two cleats on your shoe, and it's just enough when you're running fast to kind of cause a twist. Because you're right, I that just came out of nowhere. He got non-contact. Next thing you know, he didn't catch the ball, and he's down on the ground.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
And then you're like, what happened? What happened? And then the next thing you're hearing reports, it doesn't look like he's coming back. Then you see him emerge, and he's in street clothes. You're like,
wow. Wow, that was quick.
Yeah. What? All I can think of is, like, I guess, torn ACL?
All I can think of is Forrest Gump. Something bit me! Like, boom! Just down on the ground. Seriously. Like, what is happening on the turf? Like, why is what doesn't happen on grass fields and what does happen on that crap? Somebody write an article about that. do an investigative journalism. Talk to, is George Toma still alive? Remember, he was like the guru of Fields for the Super Bowl? I know he's retired, but maybe go to his house if he's still alive and ask him, what exactly is this stuff? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going back to the concrete green laden fields of the 70s.
Like what the Astrodome used to have.
Yeah, it would make you like, or Riverfront, Three Rivers, yeah. Bush Stadium, you name it. All whoever sold those the leagues that crap was made a fortune.
Let's just put a green, yeah, basically let's paint concrete green.
Yeah, let's paint concrete green with maybe a little small rubber thing on top, but we're just basically painting concrete green. My cousin played in a baseball tournament in Louisiana when he was younger. He said he went diving for a ball on that stuff. His whole arm was peeling off.
I believe
after
it.
He dove. He said, my arm was literally ripped to shreds diving for that. And he was a kid. He's a high school kid. Imagine being like, Coach, I'm never diving for that again. I don't know. You got to find somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm not diving for that on this stuff. It's awful. But, yeah, I would love to see somebody do a little bit more of a deep dive as to how you can run on this turf, get tangled up, and fall down. So, all right, what's the next one?
How about this one? How about just like requirements in the Olympics and sports like figure skating, the NFL will require the wide receiver pass to a quarterback in every Super Bowl moving forward.
I know. Where are we doing? Where are we going with this? Wow.
I feel like every Super Bowl now has to have that.
Right. The Philly special.
The Philly special.
Except the cup to Stafford was kind of a mess.
Ooh. That was an ugly throw.
That did not look good at all.
I think that was the last time Cup throws a football.
They kept showing Aaron Donald on the sideline going, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, put me in, Coach. I could throw it better than that.
I probably could have thrown it better.
But why is this becoming a Super Bowl thing?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
I mean, I know they do it through the regular season, but it always seems like on the biggest stage, we got to have that trick play.
Right.
We don't have any other trick plays. They don't ever do flea flickers anymore. They just... You know, I was like, well, let's do a reverse with another reverse, and then you throw it.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about that is that like, Mixon and Higgins is not the same play, but you can almost see it coming. Like, there's this pause.
Yeah.
Like just as they get the ball, there's that pause that they have where you go, oh, look out, and then they throw it, and then you know. Either they completed for a touchdown or they...
And that play wasn't going anywhere anyways because Bengals had a guy over there just waiting to light Stafford up. That probably could have killed him.
Here's the other thing, too. And this is just... I'm not a football coach, so please forgive me for my naivete on this. But doesn't that play work better when your quarterback can be in the end zone and not demolished the second he gets the football?
Yeah.
Like
you would think.
Like okay, if like when Nick Foles caught the pass, he was in the end zone. There's you don't have to tackle him now, right? So you're not going to tackle him once he gets possession of the ball and he's open and it's the end zone. End of play, touchdown. If Stafford catches that, he's a sitting duck.
He is assassinated.
Right.
Right then and there on that field, he will die.
So why are you calling that play where he could just be demolished?
Didn't we think
the
same thing like when the Patriots tried it with Brady?
Yeah.
And Brady missed it and went right through his hands. It was like, Brady, that's actually a good thing that you dropped the ball.
Exactly. So again, maybe there's another level of football knowledge I need to uncrack that case. But I'm thinking don't throw it to your quarterback in a scenario where once he catches it, he's a live target. Throw it to him where, again, like in the end zone, if he catches it, no one will tackle him. It'll be like, well, all right, we got beat. We got beat by the QB. Play's over. But if you catch it at the 22, 32, 42-yard line, if I'm a defender, I'm going after that guy.
Yeah, because he's not a quarterback at that moment.
I've ever gone to player, yeah.
Until they make that rule, like, okay, yep. Just give him a different colored jersey so you can't touch him ever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That might be coming in 20 years.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Not at all surprising that the Bengals are not favorites to win the AFC next season.
Yeah, not at all.
But it is kind of surprising that the Rams aren't.
Yeah. Like, okay, we talked about this last week, too. I think a lot of it is because we still don't know about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But it is something we talked about with Aaron Rodgers in that if you won a Super Bowl, why aren't you staying in the NFC? right? All my friends in Denver, I love you, but why would he want to go there?
Yeah.
Like, why, if you're 38, and even though you're coming off an MVP season, why would you want to be in a division with Mahomes, Herbert, and in a conference with Allen and Burrow and Lawrence and all these other young quarterbacks? Stay in the division where you've got a lousy Lions team, a rebuilding Bears and Vikings team, and you'll automatically go to the playoffs. And the Rams are in the same boat, too. Where's Sean Payton? Are the Dallas Cowboys really that good? Where is the next? Tom Brady's now out of the league. Where is it? Where is the threat coming from? San Francisco again with Trey Lance? I don't know. Like, if I'm the Rams, why aren't they the favorites to win that? The NFC.
I mean, I get,
Is it the Packers right now?
I get that the Bengals aren't. I mean, there's too much talent in the AFC. And we already have two teams who we thought would be there anyways that, you know, the Bengals had to get by.
Right.
Who's going to challenge? I mean,
the NFC seems wide open to me.
I mean, I guess you're right. I guess it is the Packers, but they don't seem that much of a threat.
Look, you've got Cowboys? Even in your own, even if you're the Rams in their division, like I just talked about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in that crappy division, in the Rams, you got Kyler Murray ticked off at the Arizona Cardinals. You know what's going on there. Seattle's going to go no place. The 49ers are going to go with a young quarterback.
They're going to start over.
So you've got some growing pains there. Now, don't get me wrong. He might be great in his second year, right? He might also struggle enough to go, all right, we're not as good as we could be, but he's going to be the quarterback down the road. I would take my chance on the Rams winning that division. And so, yeah, I would put them as favorites again. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I don't know. I mean, you know, there's no more Buccaneers. I mean, no more Buccaneers. Brady.
No more nothing. Who?
Who Dallas, in the NFC?
Please. Don't sell me Dallas until I see them in the Super Bowl.
The Commanders.
Right? That's it. The Commanders. Yeah. All right, we got one more?
We have two quick ones.
Okay.
How about this one? Kyler Murray should return to the Cardinals simply because there's a good chance they'll be the home team in the Super Bowl next season.
Okay, he should, but I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying because Arizona is hosting.
Yeah, that's right, because Arizona's hosting, and this could be 3-for-3. Why not? It's a new trend. Why not? Yeah. Figure that out, by the way, if you're Arizona. What the hell is wrong with him?
What is going on?
Because you got to figure – he's your guy. What's the last one?
The last one. It felt way too Hollywood to have The Rock do a pregame rah-rah speech.
I had no interest in that at all. I did not like that. And I like The Rock. I like his movies.
I love him.
And if
I saw him, I would say, hey, man, that was great.
Yeah. Right, totally. I loved you, man, when you were doing that whole thing.
The NFC, the AFC, the battle. Oh, that was fantastic.
It was a little
cheesy.
Yeah. Like, I could see that in one of those YouTube videos that says, prepare to cringe. Right? Like, just watching that going, yeah, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who sold him on this? Like, if I was The Rock, I'd be like, I'm not reading this.
I felt like he was getting ready for a wrestling performance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I thought you were past that. Now you're an action star that demands $30 million paydays. So you're fine. You don't need to do this stuff anymore.
If I'm Stan Kroenke, though, I want to go to every single celebrity, and I want to go, I want to see you, and you here opening day next year.
Yeah.
Don't be these celebrities that are like, show up. Oh, I live in L.A. I'm a Hollywood star. This is my home football team. Show up to games in the future.
Yeah. Does LeBron show up to opening day?
Does LeBron have anything to do? Is he now an L.A. Rams fan? Because he certainly act like he was. Cheering and screaming and jumping up and down. Thought you were a Cowboys fan. Yeah. No, I would say to all these stars, Leo and everybody else. I mean, like,
yeah, is Ben Affleck a Rams fan now?
Yeah, I'll start coming to these games on a regular basis. That's what I would do if I was Kroenke. All right, that's the buy or sell segment of the show. We'll come up and wrap it up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. Again, it's a good halftime show from the Super Bowl. That was fantastic. I will say I did enjoy some of the commercials, too. I thought not all of them were great, but some of them were pretty good.
No. I mean, the E-Trade Baby.
Yeah.
I thought that one was funny.
That was kind of funny because the E-Trade Baby's been...
retired.
retired.
And just like the
for
whole thing.
Quite
like,
a while.
I mean, my favorite line was like, you know, I'm retired. It's like, well, they're getting stock tips from memes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, Johnny, get the helicopter.
What other one was pretty good? I liked a commercial, and then on Twitter, people didn't like it because they thought it was sacrilegious. I thought the Sopranos ad was cool for the electric car.
I did too.
But then people on Twitter was like, this is an outrage. You know, this is an iconic opening. They destroyed it for a electric car ad. I don't know. There was that moment when AJ and Meadow hugged, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. It kind of felt like, were you watching something from, you know, is this like a sequel?
Yeah,
is this
yeah.
Like, what, is this what it was years later?
Yeah.
Are we finally getting to know what David Chase's ending was?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Maybe she can parallel park that thing a little better.
Come on.
Next time. maybe that electric car.
Why did they do that feature? Why did they do that feature in the car? They should have done that commercial.
So she could actually be sitting at the table when their dad's head gets blown off by the man in the members only jacket.
I'll say another one I liked. I don't know where it was going to go. Was the Dolly Parton?
Oh yeah,
save
she
the wireless.
She Dolly loves herself some Dolly, doesn't she?
She certainly does.
She does. Larry David ad was pretty cool on crypto. I still don't understand crypto.
he's all of us.
But that was pretty good. All right. Thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call.